It's time for the Famous Anime Podcast. Tonight's arbiters of fame are Anthony.
Hello.
Dwayne.
Hello.
Niall.
Hello, dearies.
And me, Brian. On tonight's show, we are going to decide which anime are worthy of the term famous. But first, I was informed that I did not give Dwayne his time on the last episode to do his plugs properly. Dwayne, do you wish to do your plugs now?
At the start of the episode? Wow, okay. I'm on Twitter at @i_m_d on Twitter. You can just hold down shift and type that. Okay, well, that's out of the way. Right, I'll see you guys later.
So we're going to discuss all the shows, any arguments for or against their fame, and before we vote at the end of the show, then we will each pick up to 4 of the shows that we think deserve to enter the Famous Anime Podcast's Hall of Anime Fame. Managed to say it all in one go this time. Any show that gets 3 votes is in. You do not have to pick 4. If you only think 3, 2, 1, or none deserve it, then vote accordingly. If a show does not enter this time, it still has a chance if it crops up on a later podcast topic. But if it fails after 4 times, it is out. Never to be famous. Even if it has, like, a big remake, which is super popular. Can't get it back in. Right. First up, from 1966, it's Sally the Witch. This was easy to find. It's got witch right in the name. From Toei's own website, this is the description. This is the story of a little princess from the Magic Kingdom and her friends on Earth. She uses magic to help people, but hides to everyone the fact that she is actually a witch. This ran for 109 episodes from 1966, and it came back in 1989 for another 88 episodes and a film in 1990. This is the first magical girl anime, even though she's not the first magical girl. That is Ako-chan, who's not a witch, so she's not on this list. Witches only tonight. So, magical... Sorry, the witch. So, me and Anthony have definitely seen the first episodes.
Oh, yes.
We did a podcast about it.
I'm most only familiar because of Concrete Revolution, I think.
She's more based on Comet Sam. Niall. Yeah.
I know, but I figured there was a bit of this in
Niall,
there,
do you know her from Giant Robo?
So, I do indeed.
But I think I've seen 1 or 2, or at least clips of the anime in question, but I've been more familiar with her appearance in Giant Robo. I think she was under Sunny the Witch.
Yes.
Which is another way to say her name.
She was Alberto's daughter in that.
Yeah, I keep getting messed up with a daughter or niece, but it's Hansby who's the uncle.
And yeah, so the animation, I think, in this first series is more close to Hanna-Barbera style than what you'd recognise as.
Just like the animated head kind of thing from the collar, is it?
Kind of like there's a lot of the run cycles look more like a Hanna-Barbera run cycle, and the looping backgrounds that you get in a Hanna-Barbera cartoon. Never-ending corridors with the same painting every 6 feet. But yeah, I would say she's definitely a famous witch.
Hmm.
She's one of the big magical girls, and she's got a witch in her name.
Yeah. I would say, like, even in Giant Robot terms, where they were pulling from the entire breadth of Mr. Yokoyama's work, still managed to find, like, a spot for her in there. Mm. So I think that speaks volumes about when you can choose everything this guy has done, any guy you want, any character you want to put in there, and also they found a spot to put her in there.
Mm.
And then so popular that in 1972 they basically cloned her and did Chappie the Witch, the next witch we've got here. Chappie the Little Witch, her brother Jun, and Don the Mischievous Panda come down to the human world and experience a lot more than they expected.
Down to the human world? Where from?
From, presumably, the witch world, or whether the land of magic, according to Wikipedia.
Magical dimension.
It's a recurring theme in early magical girl shows is you're coming from another dimension. In fact, some weren't even witches, they were aliens.
Hmm.
And yeah, so this ran for 39 episodes in 1972. I don't know much more about it than that.
I just seem to know it was one of those shows that was big in Latin America.
And the panda looked like a raccoon, so I think Toei might be leading us astray, saying he's a panda.
It might be a red panda. That's
or
great.
A tanuki.
But yeah. I don't know, Wikipedia is also telling me he's a panda mascot. Maybe he's
so mischievous that he's wearing a raccoon mask right now. And that's
just
picture.
To fool us. Yeah.
This is a magic panda.
That's why it looks like a raccoon.
Apparently, she's known as the first witch to use a wand.
Really?
Ever?
Maybe.
No.
We're bewitched.
That is a wizard wand. Thing.
She just scrunched the nose, yes.
There's wands. Well before this.
It looks more like a cheerleader's baton. Which
it does, yes. Apparently it was given to her.
That's still a wand.
Yeah.
Well, not being from Latin America, I wouldn't be all be familiar with this.
No. And, I mean, it says known for that. I mean, I didn't know that. Not that I'm necessarily the judge of what's famous, but we are for the purposes of this podcast.
It's known for what?
We said known for being the first witch to use a wand. I'm like, who knows that? Who's going around saying...
Pub quizzes everywhere.
Did you know Chaffee was the first witch to use a wand? And the other guy going, yes, I did that. It's well known. Righty-ho. Next up we've got, from 1974, something me and Anthony are familiar with, Megu the Little Witch. Again from Toei's website. A story about a little witch who was nominated for Queen of the Magic Kingdom. She came to the human world to exercise ascetic practices. Throughout many experiences there, she learned the beauty of the human heart. Ran for 72 episodes. Despite being called Megu the Little Witch, she is perhaps the biggest of the witches we'll be talking about tonight.
Coming in at 15 feet tall.
Now, a lot of these are like little girls, and she's like a teenager, bordering on being an adult. And it's incredibly violent, at least from the first episode we saw.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
And that's how she learns about the beauty of the human heart.
Yes, by throwing her adopted little brother through a glass door.
They're so fragile. I will protect them. Not to be confused with Meg the Witch from the storybooks Meg and Mog.
No.
Which, if you do like a very cursory research, is probably the first result you might get, depending on where you live.
She's basically sent to Earth to stay with a family of a witch who married a human, and they cast a spell on her husband and her son to make them think that this girl is their daughter, who they've always had, even though
that's
she's
weird.
Older than the little boy brother she's now got.
Didn't say she was going to be a good witch now.
Oh, no, that's kind of like the thing. It's like, is she good? She's like a bad girl who's got to learn how to behave herself on Earth. And there's a rival magical girl who shows up later does a baby first face turn, so there's then two magical girls in the show.
What's a baby face turn?
That's a wrestling term for when you're a bad guy and you become a good guy.
Oh, yes, I have heard that, actually.
Yeah. I think I'll do it.
I see.
Yes. Yeah, Dragon Ball made a career out of it.
Actually,
well, Tien first. Yeah.
It goes back pages.
Goku did it. He should have been a baddie. He was sent there to destroy Earth.
Well, yeah, he's definitely not the baby face in the current arc. But, so, Anthony, you enjoyed this a lot, didn't you?
Oh, I was like, because I remember being dubious about that entire episode that we did, but this was one of the standout ones. Not just because of the violence. I don't know, I still remember it quite vividly, and I've would love to pursue it.
Yeah, it's a crazy melodramatic thing that, is quite much more than you're expecting from a magical girl show.
Mm. I don't think you'd be able to watch it anywhere, could you?
No, I think it's quite difficult to find it in English.
That's a shame.
There may be other dubs of it on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, because this is probably like one of the well, to me anyway, one of the more well-known witches in anime. Well, I thought it was a bit more widely available, at least in the fan community, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
Yeah, that is the right witch. Okay, right. Next up, we've got Lala Bell, the magic. Sorry, Lala Bell, the magic girl. That's the official Toei name for it. Lala Bell, the witch, came on Earth to retrieve magic objects stolen by the thief Biscus. There, she discovers the wonders of the human world and makes friends, whom, of course, she helps with all her powers.
Oh.
It's from 1980 and it ran for 49 episodes. I'm looking at this picture of her. She seems to have, like, some sort of star-bellied cat as a mascot.
Yeah. What's with all these witch worlds? Why are there different worlds? Why can't there be...
Because that's what...
You've got to get some sci-fi in there as well.
Yeah, what's
strange and unknowable.
Aliens?
There was... the other... Well, they're not getting mentioned because they're not witches. I've only mentioned the witch ones. If we've missed, we've not had the, there's the ninja magical girl, the cyborg magical girl, the android magical girl. They're not going to be in this one. They're not witches.
Yeah, witch magic is different than ninja magic.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And of course, they're all doing it because Sally the witch did it. And so they're just copying that. And because that, and that's copying Bewitched.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a witch from... Not necessarily another world, was it? But it was like a society of witches. It was like looked down on her that she'd married a human. And was putting... You've not never seen Bewitched before?
You've never seen...
Well, I've seen Bewitched, but I wasn't really... I've forgotten most of the lore.
Yeah.
It's
always her mum showing up going, oh, why did you marry that husband of yours? You should come back.
I just thought that was a joke on in-laws.
Yeah, I didn't pick up that there was a the law was deeper than just
family
matters.
And there's many, many other ways of reading it as well.
Oh.
Bewitched is obviously you wouldn't have any of this without Bewitched.
So, I mean, is that on the list or
no, because it's not anime.
It had that anime.
What if it's that influential, you know?
I mean, one of the things which might have been on the list, Niall posted a distraught Simpsons picture. So it's not going to be mentioned on this episode. I'm trying to figure out what that animal is.
It's like a mouse.
This one's going to have a rodent.
Hamster?
Hamster.
It's an ugly cat.
Yeah.
It doesn't have like a cat face.
A cat's face shouldn't be like teardrop shape, right?
No. It doesn't have a fang. It's got like... rat teeth at the front.
I think that's only I think it's only teardrop shaped because she's pulled its fur up into a
uncomfortable
ball.
Yeah.
That's not the cat's fault. I'm sorry.
But it's got like mouse teeth rather than cat teeth.
Well, the bad guy has a cat as well. Apparently.
So it makes sense if the heroine had a mouse.
But yes.
That's true. I can't mention any suggestion of what its name is on this Wikipedia page. Righty.
Lala Bell is a translation from mouse. I'm just making that up.
I was looking for a cat. It's a kitten.
Ah, that explains it then. It hasn't got its big teeth.
Okay. I think that's just because they don't want to draw all the cat's teeth every time they draw that cat, Anthony. it would be very tough to do TV animation in 1980 if you decided you're going to have photorealistic cat's teeth every time you drew the cat mascot.
Trigger have high standards.
Okay, let's take a break from Toei Magical Girls and go to the world of the cinema. With Kiki's Delivery Service, where, according to Wikipedia, 13-year-old trainee witch, Kiki, leaves home with her familiar spirit, a talking black cat named Gigi. She flies on her broomstick to the port city of Corico. While trying to find somewhere to live, Kiki is pursued by Tombo, a geeky boy.
A Greek boy. Tombo Cephalopoulos, yeah.
A geeky boy obsessed with aviation, surprise, surprise, who admires her flying ability. This was released July 29th, 1989.
It's just some rip-off of Mary and the Witch's Flower.
I've never seen this all the way through.
Maybe not.
No, and I've tried twice. Not that I disliked it. I can't even remember why I stopped watching it, but I've never sat through this in one swoop.
It is a good deal longer than it seems.
Mm. Yeah, I think that could be it. I feel it hits a point where it's...
It is.
I feel like something more should be happening.
I think it does clock in at nearly 2 hours in the running time. Well, that being said, the last time I saw it, I was watching on film 4, and obviously you got Epics and that. It took up a good chunk of time.
Yeah, it's 102 minutes, so...
Mm. There was nothing about it that I disliked, but I think you could be right with the length thing. I think it's...
I think I'm a big fan of this one, but I really like the Ghibli ones where they faff about entirely. That's why I like Howl's Moving Castle, because it's just like, oh, and now we're going to cook, and now we're going to clean. And I'm like, well, this is pleasant. That's kind of what I like about this one as well, just taking its sweet time doing nothing. It's enjoyable.
Mm.
So it's based on a novel, and it's also had a live-action film based on it in 2014.
Has it?
Mm.
Yes, and a musical as well.
Oh, I remember that for that mention. Yeah.
I'm in a similar state as you, Anthony. I've not seen this all the way through. And also a similar state of Niall. In the last time I saw any of it, it was on Film 4.
Film 4, killing anime.
Putting it out there because it's a good. I mean, I had to use some rotation. And the dub, I watched it. It was the dub because you know it's on Film 4. But dub is actually good. It has had Phil Hartman as Gigi.
Hmm.
I think that might have been one of his final roles. Actually, doing the dub of that.
Yeah, I think you might be right. I think I've seen bits of the dub. On Film 4.
I'm not a fan of Gigi in the live action for this. He looks too much like a cat.
Really?
It's totally silly, but I don't think...
The live action film?
Nah, I thought they could have done like a CGI weird looking cat. Because I think he's very strange looking.
They should have got the Salem puppet from Sabrina. Did that back out again.
Oh, the dust off that.
It kind of looked like he had dust on it during the filming of Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Sure, everyone knows about this. Sure, if the film's so nice, they made it twice, as I said, with Mary and Witch's Flower.
I didn't realize it was based on a prior thing before. Like, I remember the it was on one of the extras on the DVD and such, where Miyazaki, he was watching girls' skirts blowing the breeze in the park, and I was like, you creepy old motherfucker. And he decided to make a film about a girl's skirt blowing in a fucking broom. I was like, yeah, okay, I guess that's a reason to make a film.
Is Mary and the Witch's Flower good?
It's fine from what I hear and from reviews coming out of it, but for a studio that was founded by some like ex-Ghibli guys, it's still really clinging on to that Ghibli house style, so this is like the renewed film and it's original work as far as I know, but it's being always going to be compared to where they came from, especially considering the certain matter involved. I think I think the character design for like the male lead, the boy in the film, it also looks like the kid Tombo in this as well. So they're not doing themselves any favor by kind of hewing that close to it.
Hmm.
Yes, I don't know what you're complaining about this live action cat. I think it is a CG cat anyway.
It looks too real. It's got green eyes for a start, not poppy. It should be cartoonier.
Well, just watch the cartoon.
Yeah. Well, yes, there's that too.
It's quite a small cat.
It is very small looking, yeah.
Okay, on. I think we can probably decide that, yeah, this is probably going to be... I'm voting this one as famous.
It ain't going in the list.
Well, it's on. Well, this said I watched it on Film 4. That would give you an idea.
Hmm.
Next up, we have Flower Witch Mary Bell. And this is reading from the studio's English website describing this. All of the fantasies that every child may have are well depicted in this series, being represented by the flowers, the magic, the fairies, and other mysterious things. One summer day, a family visits a zoo, where the father loses his sunglasses near the crocodile pool. He goes to the lost and found to get his sunglasses back. At that time, one of the children shouts, "That crocodile is wearing sunglasses!" This is
so good. Yeah.
This is an innocent idea of children, or something fancy one may have. We would like children to experience such fancy things through Mary Bell and make friends with her for their experience of more fantasies. So that
crocodile
is,
sunglasses. That's the whole series.
That bit was just reminded me of us doing Let's Go, of them just describing one joke in a episode. And that's your selling point, yeah. So this ran 92 to 93 for 50 episodes. It also had a film, Flower Witch Mary Bell, Key of Phoenix, and two public service videos, Looking Out for Fire of Mary Bell and Road Safety of Mary Bell.
Well, this must be pretty fit for her to have that character, you know, giving a message to kids. That's got to be a big deal.
Or they did a deal.
Perhaps.
They might have got her on the cheap, like, you never know.
Yes.
Fire crime went up that year because nobody knew who Mary Bell was.
I really hope it was like one of those corporate safety videos where it shows you what will happen if you don't adhere to traffic safety. Magical girls getting run over by trucks.
Well, your site, Sarah, did some electricity safety ones. I know them because they were on the Animego releases. Don't play with electricity. Unless you're an alien who shoots electricity. Again, she comes to the human world from the flower magic world.
And dang, immigrants coming here
with their magic.
All our magic.
No jobs for native magicians. Taking all the Shinto priestesses' jobs. Right. Apparently that green blob thing in the picture, in our notes, is called Tambourine.
In Dragon Ball.
Yes. He is from the Seelie Courts, and he is also apparently 500,000 years old. And so is Mary Bell.
Do those five little guys underneath the green blob man combine into one big guy? Because couldn't that kind of vibe out with them for some reason?
I don't know. Apparently there's a villain who's a fairy hunter.
Exciting.
Yeah, lots of stuff with fairies, as described. The magic, the flowers, the fairies, and other mysterious things. I don't think I've seen any of this. I've definitely seen Tambourine before. I don't know why that may have been the case. Have I seen something? Is this a case where I'm going to bash this into Awesome Engine and discover that I've got a review of episode one of this somewhere? I've wiped you from my memory.
It's like so many of those times, it's like the horror film. It's like, who wrote this? And then, it was me. I was my own source.
No, I haven't got anything there. Let me just try Mary Bell. Because this goes from, this has some other names which don't have witch in the title. That's why. I wasn't entirely sure whether to include her. Whether she was witchy enough. Oh, no, yes, I have seen the first episode of this.
The prophecy has come true.
Here we go. I've got it down as Floral Magician Mary Bell, episode one.
That's another name for it.
Yes. It looks quite good. When Yuring, what was my conclusion? I just thought it was a pleasant surprise, apparently. Despite feeling understandably dated and a little sedate in the wake of Sailor Moon's popularity, it still manages to feel distinct and finds its own furrow to plough, and then plants flowers in it. Oh, what a witty guy this guy is, wrote this review.
Classic zingers.
Oh, there you go. So, yes, I have seen it. I just couldn't remember it, which probably means it's not famous. But Tambourine
but you did
stood
write
with
a positive review.
It was even a positive review, yes. the thing I liked about it is because when she shows up, people already know of her from storybooks. And So a little old lady meets her in the first episode and she's like, oh, you're real. I always believed you existed ever since I was a little girl.
Oh.
It's got a nice sensibility to it. So both children and other people get some excitement out of the magic, the fairies, the flowers and the other mysterious things. I don't remember anyone losing sunglasses near a crocodile pool, though. I'm pretty sure if that was in the episode I watched, I would have mentioned it. Righty-ho. That's enough of that. Now something I haven't seen but wish I had. Yadamon. Wikipedia tells me, after causing havoc in the Witch Forest, the Queen, Yadamon's mother, banishes her to human world. She does this not only to teach Yadamon a lesson, but also because she has a secret passion for human magazines and books. While at the human world, the Queen keeps a close watch at Yadamon, which becomes a problem because she falls asleep almost anywhere. this ran 170 episodes from 92 to 93.
They're 10 minutes long, though.
Yes, so. Yeah, they are, yeah. There's currently a character in Dragon Ball Super with similar fairy wing hair to Yadamon, but she didn't ride around on a vacuum cleaner like Yadamon does.
If you have the wing hair, why do you need a vacuum cleaner to ride around on, then?
Because it's also a funny modern witch gag.
Yeah.
This is a show I'd really like to see, because it does look really good. But I have not seen it. And I don't know how famous it is.
I don't know. Let's see here now.
I mean, people I follow on Twitter talk about it, but they're people I follow on Twitter, so it's an echo chamber of people who like obscure anime.
Yeah, I'm trying to see what the original creator did. The biggest thing is just doing, apparently it was the same person that did a bunch of like direction on those Gurren Lagann parallel works things, this Suazin person, whoever they're it's like a weird thing. It's like, is this character design and Basquash?
Yes.
And this much. So what an odd career you've had.
It makes me think they do something else which isn't normally anime.
Well, obviously that's some kind of need to hide themselves as they're operating under a pseudonym. That person's name is Hayao Miyazaki.
No, they were born in 1961, so they're not that bad. They've done a lot of other they've done a lot of other manga that hasn't been mentioned on Anime News Network.
Right.
And lots of other anime stuff as well, and video game stuff. Really would like to see that at some point, but haven't at the moment. I have seen the first episode of Red Riding Hood Cha-Cha, or Akazukin Cha-Cha. It's the story of a young magical girl named Cha-Cha. She lives with her guardian in a cottage on Mochi Mochi Mountain. Living with her guardian in a cottage on Mochi Mochi Mountain is Sarah Vai, who is a teacher and also the fictional world's greatest magician. So, I've seen the first episode of this. This is a weird one, because they took the comic, which is like a fairy tale parody, and then decided, well, Sailor Moon's popular, so for the anime, we shall also have her transform into an adult magical girl. Even though that is not part of the comic at all.
And it's off the style considerably.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It literally looks like two different shows, yeah.
Yeah. It's really quite an odd thing. I think I remember liking the first episode that I've seen. And I remember this being relatively popular. Or at least people were talking about it in the 90s. But there you go. This aired 94 to 95 for 74 episodes. Any of you guys even heard of it?
Never seen
it. I can't say I have.
I've only seen it like you say, kind of doing the rounds. I think it might have been just it caught on places in kind of Sailor Moon fever type way, trying to get something else like that.
Yep. Next up, something I have seen, I'm pretty sure is not famous, is Magic Users Club. Exactly 1 year ago, aliens invaded Earth, but it wasn't the kind of alien invasion you'd expect. After descending from space and destroying any opposition, the giant spaceship known as the Bell just sat there. For a year, it's been floating silently above the ocean, quietly observing how Earthlings live. Everyone's pretty much used to it by now, except that is the Magic Users Club. They're a small band of misfits who can do honest-to-goodness magic. Their leader, Takeo, does not trust the aliens to stay peaceful. He wants to fight the alien menace, but it'll be a tough task when his club consists of a perverted president, a flamboyant VP, a flaky princess, a bumbling new recruit, and her temperamental best friend. Can this motley crew put it together and save the world? It had 6 OVA episodes in 1996, and then, because they were desperate for TV programs, it also had 13 episodes in 1999 on TV. It did not need those extra 13 episodes. So this is basically what a bunch of the Sailor Moon crew did after Sailor Moon ended. But with added Chiaki J. Kanaka on scripts. So you've got some Lovecraft references thrown in there. Have anybody else seen this apart from me?
This I have heard of. Probably by reading up mine, just Chiaki J. Kanaka more than anything else. And I think I heard it about it again not so long ago.
Yeah, it got a re-release quite recently. It's on Crunchyroll at the moment as well.
That's it too. It's up for streaming as well. I hear it talked about, and there are just like some kind of fringe people out there who seem to have like some affection for it.
Yeah,
like,
I'm one of them. There's a character who really does not seem to need to be in it. One of the witches, you'll go through it and you'll be like, why is this character here? She does not seem to be connected to the other characters. But I like the unknowable alien menace and the take on technically they're magical girls because they're girls and they use magic, but they're more like the witch type than the superhero type.
Right.
And two of them are also boys.
So you're saying the OAV is...
If you're going to watch it, watch the OVA, yeah. TV is... I gave up on the TV after one volume, so...
Okay. Ooh, okay.
It's kind of like it doesn't have the animation quality of the first, and it also is the sense of... Like they kind of told the story.
Right.
There's a mystery, and I think they're trying to tell the mystery, dismantle the mystery in the TV series, but I'm not sure it needed dismantling in the first place.
Yes. Is Kanaka involved in both parts of it?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
I think the longer you give Kanaka to write something, the worse it gets.
Mm-hmm.
Overcooked, huh? All right.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of the same as you. I do have this, like, a little bit of fondness for his work still. I mean, maybe see something like this maybe before he, for lack of a better term, went off the deep end.
Yeah, I also think he plotted the TV series, and I don't think he plotted the OVA because he didn't write the first episode.
Mm.
I think Junichi Sato is more the driving force on the... original series on the original OVA. I think he's on the TV as well. Yeah, he's on the TV as well, but I get the feeling that Kanaka. Having said that, Michiko Yokote's on it as well. Maybe I need to go back and watch the TV again. Maybe I'd like it more now. Because it would have been 99 when I saw fan subs of it, you know. Though I did buy the first volume on DVD, so maybe I'd forgotten. I don't know. Let me. I liked it.
I smell a podcast.
Yes, maybe I have to go back and watch it again. I have watched the OVA recently, and I think that does hold up, particularly the first episode with the aliens invading. because it's and even the CG, I would say, holds up, which you can't say much about 1996 anime CG and it holding up. Anyway, I don't think it's famous, though.
No.
Next up, Fun Pharmacy. This is back to Toei again, so we've got official description. In a small town, there was a curious pharmacy called Fun Fun Pharmacy. Popri, a girl who has just moved to town, found this pharmacy, and there she meets Miss Fukiko. Miss Fukiko is actually a witch. Sensed Popri's strong feelings for wanting to become a witch. So she presents her with a mysterious medicine bottle that allows Popri to mix and create magical spirits of her own. This aired in 1998 for 42 episodes, and it's Chiaki J. Kanaka again.
Uh-huh.
And also Ikuku Ito, who did most of the character designs, animation direction on Magic Users Club, also did that work for the Fun Fun Pharmacy too. I have not seen a single episode of Fun Fun Pharmacy, also known as Fan Fan Pharmacy.
That's missing the point of the name, right?
Yep.
It looks quite cute.
It does look visually interesting, yes.
Yeah, it looks nice.
Weirdly enough, because these little spirits come out and they don't actually speak any words, it reminded me of like the germs from Mayashiman.
Yes. This would have been before that, so I wonder if the Mayashiman... It's like, I can't say words anymore. Right. Had seen this.
Well, that for a good 42 episodes. That's probably... It must be a full year, some traction.
Yeah, it's not. You say that, but then we get to what we get to next. There's traction for a Toei Magical Girl show. I don't think 42 episodes is traction. I think 42 episodes almost smells like getting cancelled for
short.
A full year. Yeah. Because when you're talking traction, and we're talking traction before 2002 and earlier, so we can't talk Pridicure yet, but you can talk... Magical Doremi. So, first season, 1999, 51 episodes. Second season, 2000, 49 episodes. Then a film. Then another TV series in 2001 for another 50 episodes. Then another film. Then another TV series in 2002 for 51 episodes. Then an OVA. And then light novels till quite recently. 2015. Presumably.
I think with that amount of stuff, that explains how I know what these things look like, but
yes.
I have no idea about them.
Because presumably, if you were like a 5-year-old girl watching it in 1999 when it started, you're now a 21-year-old woman buying the light novels.
Oh, dear.
However, I suspect it was more like if you're a 20-year-old man watching it in 1999, now a 36-year-old man buying the light novels.
That is how the industry does work, yeah.
There are two audiences for these shows.
Mm.
So, Doremi has always dreamed of having magical powers. One day she meets a real witch who turns into a frog when she discovers her secret. Doremi, along with two friends, becomes her apprentice. Together, they work at the magic shop and train to become real witches. I don't think I've seen a single episode of this. But again, like, I know what it is. And I've seen the characters lots of times.
Mm.
I know it's the thing which was popular before Pridicure, and then Pridicure knocked it into a cocked hat. Though, this has the same characters all the way through, rather than... rebooting it every few years.
Yeah.
Every year now.
Got Junichi Sato again. Working on it. And Taki Igarashi, who we certainly like.
We do.
Like Captain Earth, like Bungo Stray Dogs. Some good stuff in there.
I think the designs are far too cutesy. Too cutesy.
Too cutesy, but yeah.
Yeah, the one previously, the
Fun Pharmacy
was cute. That was fine. This is too much. Too sickly.
This did have an English run on 4Kids TV and CW 4Kids, apparently, in America.
The Wand is very familiar. I feel like I've seen that prop or a prop like it come up. I can't remember precisely where. Maybe with someone kind of cosplay. I don't know. Or maybe it's one of those sweet ones where it's like it's a wine, but actually it's full of jelly sweets. You open the top of it.
That is true. Yes.
You cast a spell of flavor.
I have no idea what those mascot characters are. Which reminds me that I was looking. I was like, oh, because we're going to do the round in the quiz for the live Dynamite in the Brain of identify what species this animal is supposed to be. I was like,
by its silhouette or?
No, just a picture of the animal.
A picture of it, right.
How long did we spend discussing a panda raccoon, like already?
Yes.
Oh, and the cat now.
And the cat, exactly.
Exactly.
I've now realised Magical Girl Shows is where I'm going to have to go to for find these animals which don't look like what they're supposed to.
Is that a mouse or some kind of jellyfish?
That JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Part 8. Though, so, if you see anything which doesn't look like a dog, you'll assume it is a dog.
So let's imagine that man-faced dog from the further back bit of One Piece. It's a man-faced lion.
about the man-faced dog from Yo-Kai Watch.
Oh, that too.
Yeah.
I think we meant the man-faced dog from Full Metal Alchemist.
Which one fun best anime man-faced dogs?
That's another one for you. Yeah.
Famous man-faced dogs.
Wow.
Righty-ho. The ones I didn't put in were Witch Hunter Robin and Bible Black.
That's famous. Both of them are super famous.
Well, one of them super
infamous.
Do you want me to add the bad snake?
Well, I mean, I don't have the stats at hand.
No, I don't either.
So maybe they need to come back another day.
Yes.
Witch Hunter Robin, I remember that being a big thing.
Yeah.
Whether it's good or not.
It was a big thing within a certain period of time. I'm not sure if people who came into anime fandom after you, Anthony,
that is a good point.
Have any clue or any sort of cultural seepage. Whereas, we've not seen Magical Doremi, but you feel like you recognise it.
Yeah. We saw an ad for it or something if it was on freaking telly, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
If you were at an Iacon in 2000, you would have known Magical Doremi.
Well, there wasn't an Iacon in 2000.
I know, I'm just being daft. I'm just thinking because my Witch Hunter Robin knowledge is
Iacon
from when I first started.
2000 and... It was whichever Iacon. Oh no, I saw it at one of the Northampton ones because we were watching it in the video room, and then we had to abandon the hotel because the fire alarm had gone off.
Was that a save?
Did that tie into it? Because she was.
I remember that more than anything which happened in the anime.
She set fire to things,
and she had bad eyes, so she needed glasses so she could burn people accurately.
Yeah.
Right, anyway, voting. They're not on the board today.
Darn it.
Because Niall balked at me putting Bible Black on there.
I was just being glib. If you ever want to seriously discuss them...
No, I haven't written any notes on it.
What other form are they going to get? They might come up later on in the later podcast. I've got to give her a chance.
Yes, they can come up on Infamous Anime Podcast.
Yeah, do we have to watch Bible Black? I don't really want to...
You haven't already seen it.
You're bringing it up, Anthony. Anyway, so yes, time to vote to the Skype machine.
The Skype machine.
I'm going to go with that. That's me ready to vote, so let me know when you're ready.
Hang on. Yeah.
Do I have to pick an under or over amount? What's the four?
It's up to four. You don't have to pick any if you don't want to pick any.
Hell no.
It's going to be hard to enter in nothing.
If they all suck in your eyes, then you don't have to put it in anything.
For sure. No, it doesn't matter if they suck or not. It's if they're famous. They can still be suck and be famous.
Yeah. Mm.
Does not matter. Their goodness has nothing to do with this vote. It's how famous
I struggle to get my head around that. I was like, well, I don't like that show, so it doesn't deserve to be on the list. Well, I'm ready when...
Yeah, I'm ready. I was born ready.
I think I'm ready, yeah.
Came out the womb saying, these are my favourite...
Sally the Witch!
That's true. That's probably the only one I could have voted on when I came out of the womb. Right. And then the nurses said, it's not been out 15 years, it doesn't qualify.
Well, back in I go.
Right, are we ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hit return. Okay.
Oh, God.
Well, this looks fairly easy. So, Sally gets in with 4 votes from everybody. Kiki gets in with 4 votes from everybody. Then, I don't think anybody else gets in.
No.
Which is sick.
Yep, that's it.
Oh.
There was 2 votes for Doreme from me and Niall. Anthony voted for Meg and Magic Users Club. And Niall also voted for Meg, and Dwayne only voted for Sally and Kiki.
Like, if I have to squint to look at it, and I'm like, I think I know what that is, then I can't really vote for it.
Fair enough. That's good. It's better we keep people out than put people in who don't deserve to. Like, hack sign.
Build a wall, an anime wall. God Hack needs to come back.
You had said this before, and then I pointed out that it was, like, back only a few years ago.
No, I mean back in the list.
It's famous. Well,
they've all heard of it in here.
When we're far enough in the future, Anthony, and there's enough anime based on being trapped inside an MMORPG, then we can do that episode.
There's more than enough now, but we need to wait 15 sweet years.
I know,
years.
Exactly, yeah.
See if they hang on, yeah.
See if people still remember Log Horizon. Sword
Art. Oh, Log Horizon, I forgot that now.
Righty-ho. Anybody else apart from Dwayne want to plug anything?
We're doing it this way now. you can find me and Dwayne. This is the only thing, one must guy do this, so it may as well be me, on our own podcast, Secret of Shadow Madness, about animation in general, including anime occasionally. We have been talking about such things as Justice League, and coming up, we're talking about stuff like The Road to El Dorado and Clone High. I can be found at secretlysettermanners.com. And you can find me on Twitter at Nicholas Cage, that is NIALLCOLAS_Cage. And if you're going to Kitacon in a matter of weeks, if you happen to come by Woodscown on a Sunday at 2:30, you could see Hell in a Cell, Best Anime Fight Scene, which is self-explanatory, anime, fight scenes. Come along and see some characters get the crap knocked out of them. So if that interests you, drop on in.
And also, I should be at Kitacon on the Friday with Anime Space Disco, on the Saturday with Mad Stravaganza, and on the Sunday with a live Dynamite in the Brain with Niall, Anthony, Elliot, and Gary. And Anthony, do you have got to plug your YouTube?
Yeah, just search and ask you. That's it.
I will.
Go watch Dark Souls.
I should have to search. I already follow you. So.
Yeah. Go and sub. That's what I should be saying, not search. Yeah. Take a click away from a search.
Yes. Search. Sub.
Watch.
Enjoy.
That's your motto.
Yeah.
Righty-ho. We'll be back next week with... Oh, my goodness. It's My Neighbor Totoro. We finally broke down and we're doing another Ghibli.
We've done pretty well to not do many, really.
Yes, and we're only doing this because we didn't go and see Genocidal Organ, which sounds like
Greg went to see it last night. Actually,
sounds like we dodged a bullet, as you'll probably hear.
Greg said it was great. Seriously.
Oh man, now I wish we'd gone and seen it because we could have had Greg and Grace on, the two people with opposite of views.
He said it was very Hideo Kojima in terms of, like, it was very wordy. Just out there, and so perhaps it's not for you, but perhaps very much for me.
No,
it's
wish
not
had,
for you, but for me.
Now I wish we had gone and seen it. I have to say, that would have been a great episode with Greg on one side and Grace on the other. I think we could have just sat back and done nothing. We will have Grace on for My Neighbor Totoro, all things going well. So see you then. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Ciao.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Okay, it's time for the famous anime podcast.
Hold on, I'm not recording. It's not time. Sorry, I know you. That was a good one as well. Sorry.
Planet Thing, we've got another one in me, Anthony.
Hopefully you have that one recorded.
Are you recording now?
I am. I just wanted to... Yeah, it's gone.